Welcome to episode 6 of the podcast.
I am your host.
Yeah, we made it to 6 episodes. I am your
That's
host.
Like double digits good.
Let me introduce myself. I am your host, Caleb Hardwick, and that was my annoying younger brother, Seth Hardwick.
I resent that fact.
You might have to turn off your pager.
I'm Caleb's older brother, Noah.
Yep, this is Noah. All right, so here we are once again in the dump. It was a bit of a slow week last week. In fact, that's what we named the episode, A Slow Week Illustrated.
But no, that was 2 weeks ago. This past week has actually been very exciting.
Yeah.
You didn't have to tell them that. We could have just let it slide.
But it's true. We didn't have a lot going on. Actually, you're right. It was a couple of weeks ago. But this past week actually was quite a bit more exciting. So hopefully this episode, episode 6, is going to be the one that puts us in...
Double digits?
And listens? Yeah, it might be.
Hey, so just so you know, everyone, share it with your friends. Yeah, let's get to double digits this week.
Double digits and listens is our goal right now. So
if we have 10 people listen, then we'll make at least 10 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Is that our commitment?
That's our commitment to you listeners.
The number of listeners we have is the number of episodes we will make.
That may not be a good commitment because no one will listen to our podcast anymore.
I was
going to
say, that may mean that people stop listening, so we stop making episodes.
Well, the joke's on you. We're not quitting either way.
Okay. Well, yeah, so this past week actually was, we actually had several things going on. All three of us, I think, got to do something pretty cool. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago that Seth got to go and do his SpaCon event in Hot Springs. So we'll get to talk a little bit about that. And then last weekend, he got to go to a pretty cool concert. So,
in a living room.
Yeah, a living room concert.
That wasn't the name of the venue.
The living room concert hall, yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we also went on a short mission trip / weekend vacation. So we'll get to also talk about that. So, but before we do, what's up, guys? Anything going on? Anything new?
Someone took my Coke.
What?
Sorry.
I put my Coke in the refrigerator for lunch and somebody took it.
I didn't do that.
No, not here at work.
Oh, okay.
Did you put your name on it?
No.
Well, it's fair game if you don't put your name on it.
I'm just mad. I'm still kind of angry about that.
Well, you can get even next time you see a Coke in the refrigerator.
Actually, there is one in there, and it's been in there since at least March because it's got...
was it like a Mexican Coke?
No, it's just one in a 20-ounce bottle.
Oh, it's a bottle.
Yeah, but it's got the Final Four logo on it. So
it's been in there a while, at least March. Yeah. Okay.
I think it was from 2016. I thought about drinking it, and then I saw the Final Four thing on it. I'm like, no.
March Madness.
No, I'll put this back. I'll like leave it.
March Madness 2011.
Yeah. I mean, for all I know, it could be mine. Maybe I put it in there and forgot about
it. Hey, you got any more pallets for me?
I stacked 5 outside the gate today.
Awesome.
Seth,
I'll be there tomorrow.
You want to explain why you're collecting pallets?
Nope. That'll be released on a later podcast.
Okie doke. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what has gone down this past couple of weekends. Seth, would you like to share with us a little about SpaCon, which is not SpockCon? Although I noticed there was some Trekkies there. So
I don't remember seeing anybody dressed like Spock, though.
No.
There might have been. We didn't get into the main convention area. So.
There was
a lot of stormtroopers, though.
That's a good question. Seth, you were there a lot longer than me or Noah. What was your favorite costume you saw at SpaCon?
You know, that's really hard to say because I really didn't spend a whole lot of time looking around at other people's costumes because I was kind of too busy worrying about the kid that was reaching their hand across the chain to try and steal minifigures.
Yeah.
However, I did see a Chewbacca outfit, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Better question, maybe. Was anybody dressed as a Lego minifigure?
No. I was so disappointed, because I have seen it at some of the other comic conventions. There'll be people going around that are actually dressed up as Lego characters.
Personally, I think when somebody dresses up actually like a Lego, with like the Lego body, I find it kind of creepy.
Yeah, in a certain right, yeah.
When they only have, like, you know, the claws for hands and stuff, that I find that a little disturbing.
Well,
I guess it's a pretty hard costume to pull off.
By far, my favorite costume that I saw at SpaCon, I went there for very long, but my favorite costume was this little girl who had this little blue dress on, and on the little blue dress was taped, like, six windows. And then on the six windows, or above it, it said police box. So I kind of imagine that somewhere in the past, probably like months ago, this little girl had been begging her mom, like, "Mom, you're going to make me a police box costume, like Doctor Who, right?" And yeah, and she probably bugged her mom for months. And then it finally got to SpaCon, and she's like, "All right, Mom, where's the costume?" And the mom's just like, "Oh, man." So she just printed off some little pictures and put the word police box on a blue dress, and bam.
I really like that design. I mean, it's kind of like the minimalist costume.
It's a police box. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so that, yeah. Anyway, that was my favorite costume.
It reminds
costume,
me of the Chick-fil-A costumes you see. It's like, well, my shirt has cow spots on it.
Yeah. No need to get too fancy. Just print out something and stick it to your clothes.
Huh. Did you see any cool costumes, Noah?
Yeah, but I don't remember any of them.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, so SpaCon, it was our largest ArcLug show that we've ever done.
What is ArcLug, Seth?
ArcLug is the Arkansas Lego Users Group. And we are a bunch of, well, mostly guys, but there's some girls too, of adult Lego fans that play with Legos and build things that are cool. And we are kind of like an extension and an arm of like Lego's public relations, sort of. We kind of try and work with Lego to publicize them. So, yeah, anyways, and part of that is we have to go and put on like shows. So we did that at SpaCon, and it was our largest both in like physical size and in length of display, because we were there on display for 2 full days, and we had a full day of setup. Which is the first time that we've ever done that. We've left our stuff overnight somewhere. Probably the coolest thing of the whole show was, well, one of the guys in our club named Richard, he had built, like, I don't know, an 8-foot-tall skyscraper. And before I left on Saturday, there was a kid there, and we have, like, just some play bricks set up. And this kid said he was going to build a tower that was taller than Richard's.
That's a good idea.
I like this kid.
Yeah. I know. So he's over there, and he's just clicking bricks in together. And he did it. He got his tower like 10 foot tall. It's like, how did he even get it up that high? I mean, the kid's like 3 foot.
That's a good question. How did he? Did he like sit it on the ground and then stand it up?
Well, he like built them in sections. So he had like, you know, the top 4 foot, and then he just clicked it into the other, you know, and just kept kind of stacking it on top of each other and lifting up and building more and stuff.
Did y'all attempt to recruit this kid?
I don't know. I left. I had to come home, but it was impressive, though, because before we left, his tower overtook Richard's tower.
The next time y'all do this, you're going to have to find this kid and get him to put something in the show.
We really should.
There you go. That was Seth's adventure with SpaCon. And before we move on to what Noah did this past weekend, here's a word from this week's sponsor. Do you need a favor? Well, don't waste any time looking for help. There's only one man to ask. Rob. He's the former Navy man who can do it all. Just listen to these testimonials.
Yeah, this is Josh the Bad Boy. And, like, when I was on the road trip with the team to Toronto, Rob came over and fed my pets.
Hello, this is Peggy here in South Florida. Rob came over to the call center and blew out the coals on the office refrigerator.
Yeah, this is Big Dan, the front lineman. And, when Coach said I needed another 8,000 calories to meet my daily diet, Rob came over and grilled me 47 hamburgers.
I'm Uncle Eddie, and when I needed help installing my gas stove, Rob came over to help me find the right parts. Of course, back in my day, stoves were called meatloaf calculators. And you had to wait for the dial tone to ask the operator to flip the hash browns.
If you ever need a favor, just call Rob at 501-350-60...
Yeah, excuse me, but can I get some of those hash browns?
Rob, a man for all seasons. Let's move on to Noah's adventures this past weekend. Me and Seth and Mama were gone this past weekend. Out of curiosity, what did you do this weekend while we were gone?
Watch TV and eat junk food.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what
Star
you do.
How many Star Treks did you watch?
I didn't watch any Star Treks, actually.
What?
I probably would have, but I knew that I was like only 3 episodes away from the finale on Voyager, so I was like, well, I'll wait until they get back because they probably want to see how this ends.
Well, that was nice.
So instead, I binge-watched Young Justice, the animated, kind of like Teen Titans, but Justice League animated cartoon.
And how many hours of that did you watch?
I'm not going to say.
Okay. Gotcha.
I will say that I'm about finished with the first season.
How is it?
It was a cartoon. It was actually pretty good for a cartoon, I guess. For a kid's cartoon.
Okay.
I would prefer Star Trek, I would say, but what?
Did you manage to stay fed?
Yeah, I ate a lot of junk food. I didn't eat well.
Did you feed my dogs?
Yes, but I might have forgot to feed them Saturday night.
Yeah, it's okay. Cola needs miss a meal here and there.
But, I mean, it's okay. You came back Saturday night, so you could have fed them.
No, we came back Sunday night.
I didn't feed them.
Oh, you came back Sunday. Maybe it was... Never mind, it wasn't Saturday. It was Sunday. I did feed them Saturday.
That's all right. So, you also got to go to a pretty cool concert.
Mike Maines.
And who is Mike Maines? Tell us a little bit about him.
You know, I don't know that much about him. I did listen to a podcast with him, and I learned a little bit more about him. But he's kind of a Christian rock artist. I don't remember if he was from Michigan or something like that. Then moved to Texas. I don't know. I got it kind of all mixed up. It's actually Mike Maines and the Branches, but he dropped the Branches part, I guess, because him and his wife are still the only two members in the band now. So
was it a band? Was there actually a whole band there?
Yeah, there was a full band, sort of. There wasn't a bass player, oddly enough. I thought that was a little weird.
That is a little weird.
But it was him on vocals and acoustic guitar, and then a guy playing electric guitar, a drummer, and then his wife was on the keyboard and the accordion and. I'm trying to think of what the other
instrument... That's a standard Christian rock instrument.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's another instrument that's really weird, and I don't know what it's called, but maybe you do. It's kind of like a little keyboard, but it's got like a long flute-like thing that comes out on it.
I have no idea.
Nope.
It's a really cool instrument. I like the way it sounded. I didn't know what it was until I saw him playing it live, and I'm like, oh, I've heard that instrument on the album. I just didn't know what it was. So,
okay, so I've
been meaning to look this instrument up and figure out what it is.
I have a question. How did you find out about them, and why did you go?
How did I find out about... I heard the band, I think, the first time on Christian radio. I think it was on Radio View. They played a song, and I'm like, ooh, who is this? I never heard of them. And I looked at it, and then, like, the next day, I'm listening to Radio U again. I'm like, ooh, I like this song. And it was a different song. I looked up, and it sounded totally different, but they were by the same band. I'm like, well, I'm going to go check out their album. That's 2 songs in a row that I liked, so... And that's how I found the band. And then, as far as how I heard about the concert, I would just follow them on Facebook, and I saw it. It also had the Band in Town app, and it just tells you, you know, when a band you follow on Facebook's in town. But apparently, I feel like I kind of crashed a private party because it's a living room concert where they basically just travel around to different people's houses and play in their living room. So I think I was probably the only person that was not a family member or a friend of the family.
Sounds
that showed
crowded.
Up for this concert. It's a big house. I mean
you put a drum kit in the living room, that like cuts the living room in half right there.
Yeah, it was a big living room. I mean, it wasn't that big. It was probably about as wide as the room we're in now, and maybe twice as long.
No one else will know the size of our room.
Well, just pretend, make up some guess about what size room you're in right now and just use that.
Okay. Just imagine a room.
Now that you've had a little time since then to think about it, which do you prefer? A big concert with all the production or a small concert that's, you know, intimate?
But you feel like you're crashing.
You know, I haven't been to a whole lot of big concerts, like, you know, the ones that are in arenas and stuff. So I don't have a real good gauge on those.
Well, like, for instance, like, but if you went to one at the Rev Room in Little Rock.
Yeah, I was going to say, compared to the one that's like at the bar or something like that. As I was driving home, I was thinking about it from the introvert's perspective of, on the one hand, I like this fact that this venue is small and there aren't a lot of people around. But on the other hand, there aren't a lot of people around, so it's hard for me to blend in and nobody notice I'm there.
Yeah,
So it's kind of this weird thing as being the kind of shy person of, I like this, but I kind of don't like it.
I wish I had an invisibility cloak.
Yes. I think I would say I'd prefer it if I wasn't going by myself and I wasn't the only one that showed up that wasn't, you know, connected to somebody.
Right. Because
then you really feel like you stick out as a sore thumb when, you know, everybody knows everybody and you're just kind of over there. I'm the guy that nobody here knows and I'm a guest that you're all wondering why I'm here.
Right.
Like, when I actually got there,
I'm a reporter from Reddit.
When I got there, one of the people at the door were like, oh, are you in one of the bands? No?
You really missed your opportunity there to just be like, yeah.
Hand me that guitar.
Show me where to go.
I'm the sound manager.
Yeah.
So. But, I mean, it is cool because, I mean, I went to go right up and talk to the artist. I mean, they're just hanging out in the living room with everybody else, sitting in the floor talking. And I got to talk to him, to Mike Maines a little bit. And the opening band, or one of the opening bands, the one that was on tour with him, was a guy from Great Britain that had that thick English accent. I mean, he just sat on the couch with me next to me the whole show, but he was interesting. I'm trying to think, what was his name? The Burly Griffin. And he was just kind of a singer-songwriter, just a guy with an acoustic guitar playing. I found his attempt at writing a country song quite amusing, and his attempt at trying to sound Southern. Because, I mean, now I feel like this must be how British people feel when we try to have that English accent. Like, you just sound stupid. Well, when a guy with a British accent tries to sound like he's from the South, it just sounds stupid.
Does he end up, okay, out of curiosity, if you mix a British accent with a Southern accent, do you get an Australian accent?
No, not even close.
Not at all?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, that was kind of my thought when you said that. But I
could see how you would come to that conclusion, but it didn't sound that way at all. But
interesting.
He was, I don't know how to describe the guy. He was just kind of one of those weird guys that I'm like, yeah, I see why you're a musician, you know? Probably the only thing you can do with your life.
You'll never get a real job, so go ahead and do your best at this while you can.
I don't know. It's also just kind of amusing to see somebody that's from another country come to the United States to see it. Because, I mean, I think about people from the United States going to other countries to see it, but I don't think about the reverse a lot of times. And then the other band that was the true opening band was, I believe, the worship team from a church in Cabot, which was, they were okay. I mean, it was, not what I was expecting. In fact, if that's one thing I was kind of surprised by about the concert, it was how Christian the concert was. I guess I wasn't expecting that because I didn't really think Mike Maines, while I heard him on Christian radio, was a very Christian artist. I thought of him more of as a Christian in a band, not a Christian band.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little surprised, one, to have a worship band that opened it. And then the guy from the UK, again, I was not expecting a whole lot of Christian stuff from his music, but there was a good bit, even if it wasn't exactly, you know, CCM friendly. And then Mike Maines did some, like he did the doxology and some other songs. I was a little surprised at how much Christian content there was in the concert.
So while you were doing that, me, Mom, and Seth were in Greenwood. Mama, would you like to join us for this part?
But I'm sharpening crayons.
Do you want to join us?
Okay, I'll put down my crayons.
So to talk about what we did over in Northwest Arkansas, here is joining us now our mother, Ms. Carla.
Hello. Straight from sharpening crayons.
Yeah, you were coloring in the floor.
I stopped to come up here and talk about this because I thought it was really important.
You sacrificed coloring to come talk on our podcast.
I did. Sharpening Crayons.
Yes.
I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like a good band name, Sharpening Crayons.
That is kind of a
but
good name.
But that was last segment.
Anyway, so yeah, the Acts 1-8 mission trip, we talked a little bit about that on a previous podcast. It's a weekend mission trip where everybody goes to one city and they have a whole bunch of different activities going on in one city. This year it was in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and we went and I think, let's see, what was the most exciting thing to happen that weekend?
Well, I think one of the favorite things that happened to me was just the reaction of the kids. First of all, we were on Children's Site 7, good old CS7. There's a cool video out there of the weekend. We didn't make the video. We got cut from it, but our boxes are in the video.
Why did they take a picture of our boxes?
I don't know, but they say CS7 of them on them. So if you see boxes with CS7, that's us. But we went to a school, and there was a playground out there, and so we pulled up, and there were a bunch of kids out on the playground playing. I say a bunch. There was maybe
four.
It seemed like a lot to me. And just going out to the playground and saying, "Hey guys, we're here to have fun today. You want to come have fun?" And every one of those kids, they just went, "Yeah!" I just perked up and they said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "We're going to have a party." "Yay! What kind of party?" "We're going to have a Jesus party." "Huh?"
"Yay!"
Actually, they kind of went, "Huh?" And then they went, "Yay!" But you know, you could tell they were very startled that we were going to have a Jesus party.
It's not Christmas yet.
I guess not.
You can't have a Jesus party if it's not Christmas.
But they were pretty awesome little kids. I was pretty much in love with them by the time we left. Although they were not clinging to me and hanging on me the way that they were hanging on
Caleb.
They also
didn't almost break your arm.
Yeah.
Oh,
Seth,
ow.
You want to tell us about that?
Oh, my. Okay, so you know those, like, jungle gym monkey bar thingies that are like a dome shape on a playground, and they have all these little triangle bars that come together to make a dome?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we got it.
Yeah. So I was up at the top of that, and I was fixing to hop down, and I mean, it was a decent height considering it was an elementary school playground, and you know, kids could fall and get hurt. But it was probably about 8 foot off the ground at the top of it, enough that you could stand up inside easily. So I was coming down off of that, and I had my arms resting on two support bars on either side, lowering myself down. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but one of the little girls came over and yanked on my feet and pulled me down. And I lost my grip since someone was pulling me, and my arms crashed into those two support beams on either side, and I fell through and landed on the ground and curled up in a ball holding my shoulder.
Yeah, he was hurting. I saw him laying there.
It hurt pretty bad.
And but you're okay now, right?
I'm still a little bruised.
I was pretty impressed with myself. I managed to do a backflip.
What?
Not a backflip. What would you call it? No, like just a flip on a bar.
Oh,
I didn't really mean to. I was just started like pulling up myself.
Yeah, that looked like that hurt.
And then I was like, oh, wow, I'm falling backwards. And so I spun all the way around and I didn't hurt myself. So, yeah.
I kind of got the impression that the two of you being homeschooled were trying to make up for all the years that you didn't spend on a playground.
Yeah, maybe so.
You
trying to get hurt?
You played a lot. But those kids loved you because you played with them so much. They told me that they thought you were really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they got poor taste, but
I don't know.
But anyway, the other thing we did with the kids is we took them inside the tornado shelter, which was the big community tornado shelter at
that
the school.
That was pretty cool.
I wish we had a big community tornado shelter here, but
I do
yes,
too.
Yes, Mayor of Haskell, if you're listening, we need a tornado shelter
yes,
in Haskell.
Yes, we do. But it was great. The kids went in there. They had a place to play. I felt safe. It was.
You never know. A tornado might have just popped up out of nowhere.
It was sunny outside, but hey,
it was
sunny
comfortable
days.
In there. It was air conditioned too. But while we were in there, the kids all sit down and they listen to Bible stories. That's the Jesus part of it. And they actually listened. I think that they were interested in what we had to say. And not only did the kids listen, but several adults filtered in out of the community from the houses around, brought other kids in. Well, we never did come up with an exact count of how many people were there, but three different times I got to tell Bible stories, and we played games, and we made crafts, and we ate hot dogs.
And about a dozen different times we ate hot dogs, yeah.
Yeah. It's like every time we finished a Bible story, let's go eat hot dogs now.
Yeah. I don't know how many hot dogs we went through, and there was only like, 20 of us there. And
you know, I don't think that we necessarily accomplished great things for the kingdom of God, but only God knows that. Only He knows what we did during the day. I think we made an honest effort to love on the people that were there. And one thing I thought was interesting was the fact that it was a very racially mixed group. It was very interesting in that way.
Yeah, it was.
We had black children, Hispanic, some white children, and even some... What did we decide to call them? Polynesians?
Islanders.
Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that... it wasn't just children that came, even though it was CS, Children's Site 7. The fact that there were some of the adults that came out of the community, too. I hope that maybe they made some friends and it helped them out in some way.
So, yeah, I think I agree. It was a good afternoon. We didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I think for the short time we were there, it went well. So, but the rest of the weekend, we kind of just turned it into a weekend vacation. So
isn't that a staycation if we stay inside the state?
Is it?
I think that's when you stay at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to stay at home for it to be a staycation. But, we got to do some other fun stuff. After we did that, we went downtown and we looked at the murals that they've been putting up in downtown Fort Smith. It's kind of weird that a city like Fort Smith is somehow become an urban art center, but it was pretty neat to see some of it.
There were some very good murals. I was impressed.
For some reason, they liked possums.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not sure what that was about.
The possums.
But and on top of that, we got to go downtown and ride the trolley.
That was a long trolley ride.
It was kind of a long trolley ride, but I think Mama really enjoyed it.
I do.
I enjoyed it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Get out of the way, you car!
I love the driver of the trolley. He had trolley road rage.
He did.
He did not like it at all if the cars did not yield to the trolley. Yeah. And he let the cars know. And that was part of the fun of the trolley ride, I think, was watching him yelling and screaming at the traffic.
It was.
That, and he was extremely proud of the one stoplight that had the little picture of the trolley that turned green when it was okay for the trolley to go through the stoplight.
All other directions at the intersection had to stop. They had red lights and yield to the trolley so it could go across the road.
I tried to get a picture of that light, and every time I would push the button, it would turn red, and I never got a picture of it. Oh, well, we'll have to go back.
So that was fun. We got to ride the trolley, and then that evening, we got to go to Devil's Den, and we got to see our friends, the Ivies, there.
Yay, Ivies. I hope you're listening. We're calling your name.
And let's see, the next
day.
Send us money? What?
Hey, it's worth a try.
You never know.
Subconscious here, you know.
And the next day, we drove up to Springdale, and we looked at the trains. We didn't get to ride the trains in Springdale, but we got to look at them.
Yeah. It's for a secret project I'm working on.
And we drove over to Siloam Springs, and we got to see the kayak park there.
Fisher Ford.
Yep.
It was beautiful. I want
to
go back there.
I wish we could have gotten in. It looked like a great little spot to get in the water. And after that, at the Hardwicks, we have pretty much a rule that says if you can avoid driving on the freeway, we always take the highway instead. Which makes our
windy,
trips
curvy.
Yeah.
You know.
This makes our trips excessively long compared to what they could be.
let's just see. It was about a 3.5 hour drive home, and we made it about 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's about right.
So we're not quick travelers, but I enjoy doing the highway so much more than I enjoy the freeways.
Me too.
You get to see all these cool little stuff, and like you never know what you'll discover along the way.
WPA fire stations.
Yeah, we found a pretty cool fire station. Another thing that we found that was pretty cool that we never would have seen if we had driven the freeway was a place called Natural Dam, Arkansas. There is actually a pretty impressive little natural feature that forms a natural dam over this creek. And it's big natural feature in which the rocks came up in such a way that it made this almost perfect straight natural dam.
I think it's called a slip fault.
Where natural slip fault. Where the rocks doesn't fit on the sign.
There's been an earthquake or something that slipped that row of rocks straight up in the air about 8 feet and just blocked the stream that flowed through there.
Yeah, and how long do you think it was? Maybe 100?
I don't know.
120 feet?
I mean, it might have been more than that.
I think it was more than that, actually.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll look it up. We'll look it up.
But that was a pretty cool little quick stop we made on the way home. We also made a couple other stops. We stopped at and drove through what was the old Arkansas Tuberculosis Relocation Center near Boonville.
Which looked a lot like the Arkansas Health Center down the street from us in Haskell.
It did. Seth found some more fire trucks there.
Yeah.
I don't know how he has a nose for fire trucks, but he does. And somehow we eventually made it home. It took forever for it seemed like to... those last few miles getting home, but we made it home late Sunday night, and I say it was a good, successful weekend. There you go. Now you are all filled in on all of the activities that we've been doing, and we'll continue to fill you in the future weeks. Be sure to go to our website and send us a question to answer on a future podcast.
Or if you just have a topic you want us to talk about.
Or a topic... Make sure you do that, hardwickpodcast.com or facebook.com/podcast.
Tell your friends. We need double-digit listeners.
We need double-digit listeners, and we'll do double-digit podcasts.
And
so,
Ivy's, send money.
Yeah.
Send us money.
So,
don't listen to Seth.
Wow. So thank you guys for listening. This has been a good episode. And this is Caleb Hardwick, your host, signing off.
Goodbye.
That was Seth.
No, this is Seth.
No, that was Noah.
And this is Carla.
And I think Miss Carla is going to go and draw with her crayons some more. Thank you for listening. Have a nice week.
This episode was edited by yours truly, Caleb Hardwick, and featured music by Bobby Prince. Until next time, thank you for listening.